This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 17th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, the courts are reacting to online publishing, and a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. Carle Foundation Hospital launches a thermometer exchange today. The hospital is offering free digital thermometers in trade for anyone who brings in a mercury fever thermometer. Hospital spokeswoman Gretchen Robbins says the goal is to get the mercury thermometers out of circulation before they're thrown away and threaten the environment.
Mercury can be toxic. And part of the importance of this kind of exchange is to get a toxic material out of the homes and then to dispose of it properly so that it protects the environment.
Robin says the new digital thermometers are also easier to use. Carle Hospital has 500 of the new thermometers to give away, and how fast they disappear will help them determine if they should continue the program. You can turn in your old mercury fever thermometer for a new digital one at the Carle Foundation Hospital lobby in Urbana, and at any Carle RX Express Pharmacy and Carle Medical Supply Shop, and at the Carle Foundation Physician's Office in Mattoon. Carle Clinic offices are not participating in the exchange. Champaign County Board Member and County Clerk candidate Catherine Hoag remains hospitalized after suffering a mild stroke last week. Her political plans are on hold while she recovers. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The 66-year-old Hoag was taken to Carle Foundation Hospital after suffering a stroke and seizure at her Champaign home July 10th. Her eldest son, Terry Johnson, says Hoag's condition is improving and her spirits are good. But he says doctors haven't said when she can go back home.
We're not really asking when she can go home. We're asking just, is she getting better? We're not really worried about her, you know, going home yet. I don't think she's quite ready to go home yet, even though she is quite ready to go home. We're not ready for her to go home yet, so we haven't been asking those kind of questions to them yet.
Johnson credits Hoag's 6-year-old great-grandson, Savian Thompson, with discovering her at her home the morning she suffered the stroke and quickly running to get help. Hoag is the Democratic candidate for Champaign County Clerk. Campaign Chairman Michael Richard says a decision will be made about her political future once she and her family feel ready to make it. But he says everyone at this time is expecting Hoag to make a full recovery. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
All newborns in Illinois would be tested for cystic fibrosis under a proposal from Governor Rod Blagojevich. Cystic fibrosis is a genetic disorder that damages the lungs and other organs. Dr. Adrian Prestige of Children's Memorial Hospital says the newborn screenings would prevent cases of the disease from slipping through the cracks.
Treatment doesn't come as quickly, and there's already, you know, non-reversible damage to their lungs and their growth and health if they haven't been getting appropriate treatment.
A state laboratory would conduct the cystic fibrosis screening using the same blood sample that's used to test for other diseases. This will cost parents of newborns an additional $9. The proposal must still be approved by state legislators. The FBI says Chicago-area bank robberies are taking place at a record-setting pace. As of last week, there have been 110 bank robberies in the Chicago area, up 25% from the same time last year when there were 88 robberies. For all of 2005, there were 230 heists. FBI spokesman Ross Rice says 1 in 4 of the robberies are of the takeover kind. Those are robberies in which the bad guy pulls out a weapon and takes over the bank rather than quietly presenting a note. Rice says takeover robberies can turn dangerous quickly if the robber is spooked by an alarm or the arrival of police. Rice says the reason for the increased number of bank robberies is difficult to pinpoint, but he says it can be partly attributed to the number of serial robbers at large. A man called the Goateed Bandit has robbed 12 Chicago banks in the last 6 months. Illinois agriculture officials announced last week that the state was all but rid of the long-horned Asian beetle. A mere day later came another announcement. This time, with news that another tree-killing bug was spreading. Amanda Vanicki gives details.
The Illinois Ag Department's Warren Goach says every season a different type of beetle, spider, or other bug causes harm in some part of the state. He says because of international trade, these problems will likely continue.
Just the fact that we're seeing so many, you know, so much more movement of material and of people across borders, when it's only a flight of less than a day, you can travel almost around the world.
For example, Goetsch says the long-horned Asian beetle arrived here via crate in 1998. He says because the pests damaged trees, various areas of northeastern Illinois were under years of quarantine, causing losses for landscaping and woodcutting businesses. He says finally, last week, the last quarantine was lifted. Goetsch says people now have to be on the lookout for emerald ash borers. The small metallic green-colored bugs have been found in Kane County and Wilmette. That non-native species has already killed millions of trees in neighboring states. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. There's a change afoot in some courts, and it brings them more in line with the concept of online publishing. Here's commentator Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
When a lawyer researches the law, the lawyer first looks for guidance from statutes, laws passed by legislatures. If there are no statutes that apply, the lawyer will then turn to and rely on case law, otherwise known as common law. Past decisions in which the courts looked at fact patterns, applied older common law, and came up with decisions. We rely on court decisions because there's a concept known as stare decisis in the law. Stare decisis means that once a court decides a case, that decision will be the law within that jurisdiction and that court and all courts below it within the jurisdiction until the court reconsiders its decision or until the legislature effectively overturns the decision by statute. Any case law then helps to decide not only that particular case, but many cases that follow. The advent of the computer age added a new twist to stare decisis. Some court decisions are available only on computer databases like Lexis and Westlaw. Those cases are considered unpublished by the courts because they're not published in regular books, even though they're available to lawyers online. Unpublished decisions are usually ones that the court considers not worth going to the trouble of publishing because they're not terribly important in the grand scheme of things, or because the opinion is cursory, or because the case involves unusual facts. In some jurisdictions, lawyers aren't allowed to use unpublished cases at all when arguing a point in a brief to a court. It's against the court rules. In my practice in Washington, D.C., the rule was a bit more lenient. You could use the unpublished case as long as you gave a copy of it to the opposing side and to the judge. I worked on a lot of cases involving escalators and elevators in the Washington, D.C. subway system, for example, and a lot of elevator-escalator cases were unpublished. The rule let me use them anyway. On December 1st, things will change for some who currently must use only published cases. The Rules Committee of the Judicial Conference of the United States has decided that unpublished cases should be allowed in court. The new court rule says that federal appellate courts may not prohibit or restrict the citation of federal judicial opinions, orders, judgments, or other written dispositions that have been designated as unpublished. The Rules Committee wrote that it wants to make the citation of unpublished decisions uniform throughout the courts, because while some courts have freely permitted such citation, others have discouraged it but permitted it in limited circumstances, and still others have forbidden it altogether. The new rule comes in line with the practice at the United States Supreme Court. Not only have the justices cited to unpublished opinions in their opinions, a quick review of the briefs filed with the court over the years shows that a lot of writers rely on unpublished opinions to help persuade the justices. It's not clear what sort of impact this change will have in federal courts or on the attorneys who practice before them. One thing's clear, though. The courts are becoming purposefully more open to the computer age. It just took them a while. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, sunny, hot and humid, highs near 94. Afternoon heat index around 100. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the lower 70s. South winds around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid. Highs in the lower 90s, light winds. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 17th, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.